President Bush today said he believes the Al-Qaeda network was responsible for last week's attacks on Israeli targets in Kenya. 16 people, including 3 bombers, were killed in the suicide bombing of an Israeli hotel. Almost simultaneously, a missile narrowly missed hitting an Israeli airliner taking off from Kenya. Speaking today to reporters, the president said those attacks dramatically underscore the threat posed by Al-Qaeda.
I am concerned about Al-Qaeda anywhere. I believe that Al-Qaeda was involved in the African bombings in Kenya. I believe Al-Qaeda hates freedom. I believe Al-Qaeda will strike anywhere they can in order to disrupt a civil society. And that's why we're on the hunt. And we're making progress. Slowly but surely, we're dismantling the Al-Qaeda network.
Joining us now from his office in Washington, D.C. to discuss the current status of Al-Qaeda is Peter Bergen. He's CNN's terrorism analyst and author of Holy War, Inc. And from London, Stephen Simon of the International Institute for Strategic Studies in London. Simon is also co-author of The Age of Sacred Terror. Thanks, both of you, for joining us. First of all, Stephen Simon, what are we talking about now when we refer to Al-Qaeda? I mean, at one time we knew this was an organization led by Osama bin Laden, but he and his chief aides have been either killed, injured, they're on the run. Who are the leaders now?
Well, Al-Qaeda is a network of networks, and these networks are linked, and they're linked by, I guess, what you might call mid-level management, who, to a large extent, are probably still at large, and they're assisting local groups with logistics and targeting and so forth. So there is an Al-Qaeda that continues to exist in that sense, but there's also an Al-Qaeda that continues to exist as an ideological, a religious movement with a coherent and consistent ideology that's shared by all these different networks.
Peter Bergen, Al-Qaeda no longer has its base in Afghanistan. Is there a central base for Al-Qaeda now? Is there anything centralized about the leadership and the network?
Yeah, Al-Qaeda means the base in Arabic, and they lost their base in Afghanistan, which obviously has disrupted their ability to do really spectacular kinds of activities, the kinds of 9/11 attacks. We haven't seen those, but we've seen a lot of these lower-level attacks. I think Al-Qaeda, one of the problems about having this discussion is Al-Qaeda means a lot of different things. First of all, there is a group, a very small number of people, perhaps 200 people, who actually have sworn an oath of allegiance to bin Laden, who form the basis of Al-Qaeda. And there's sort of concentric circles of people that are sort of affiliated with the group that go out from that small central core. But also, it is an ideology at this point. It's more than just simply a cult focused on bin Laden. There is an aspect of a mass movement. I don't think it's a mass movement like, you know, communism was. It doesn't have that many adherents, but it still has enough adherents around the world to continue to do quite a lot of damage.
Describe that ideology.
I think, well, the core of it is very simple. It's opposition to American policies in the Middle East. That's the core. I mean, there are other issues that exercise the group, you know, Kashmir, Chechnya, anywhere where they feel that Muslims are somehow threatened.
Let me add something to what Peter said. The core Al-Qaeda ideology wants to see the historical realms of Islam recovered by Islam, ruled under Islamic rule, uncontaminated by Christians or Jews. And they want to extend the realm of Islam once they've succeeded in recovering their patrimony, their historical legacy. Now, the West is seen as opposing this and punishing Muslims. And Muslims, being under attack, must defend themselves. And this warrants a jihad. And it warrants a particular kind of jihad, a defensive jihad, which is incumbent on every individual and legitimates every form of resistance, every weapon that the Muslims conducting this defensive jihad can get hold of.
But if Al-Qaeda has lost its base, if it is now the leadership is more decentralized, clearly operating in cells all over the world, how do we not only wage war against it, but how are they waging war against us? I mean, how do they hope that these individual attacks are somehow going to accomplish this larger goal that you've just described?
First of all, as Peter correctly pointed out, this organization is becoming virtual. That has a good many advantages. because it's difficult to target a virtual organization. Now, the loss of Afghanistan was kind of a tough break, but Afghanistan had, in a way, served its purpose. Over the 10 or 15 years that Afghanistan was in turmoil, thousands of Muslims from all over the world circulated through Afghanistan, absorbed the ideology, developed connections to al-Qaeda, and have now dispersed. So it's not clear that Afghanistan would even be necessary at this point for the big one, the next big one, to be pulled off. So I think, you know, they have still very large goals, and over time, they're going to keep trying to carry them out.
Peter Bergen, you referred earlier to this as a mass movement, I think, did you not?
Well, it has some of the characteristics of a mass movement. It's somewhere between a cult and a mass movement, is the way I would put it.
How big is it? I mean, how is there any way of knowing really just how many people we are talking about?
Well, the number of people that are supposed to have cycled through those camps is about 25,000. And those camps, going to those camps doesn't necessarily turn you into a master terrorist. I mean, some of these people just went there on sort of a jihad vacation and got basic training, you know, Quranic instruction, and you learn how to shoot an AK-47. But if you were a kind of a slightly more sophisticated, you would graduate to classes about how to manage a cell, how to make your own explosives, how to handle more sophisticated weapons. So let's say that, you know, 20% of that 25,000 got that training. So you're talking about perhaps 5,000 people. And of course, these are all estimates. But, you know, bin Laden's political ideas are unexceptional in the Middle East. If you take away the calls for violence against Americans, his opposition to American policies is hardly uncommon. So you've got the group of people who've got the training, but then there is a larger group of people who basically sympathize with some of the political goals. Now, whether or not they'll get involved in terrorism is another matter.
Given that al-Qaeda operates in these cells that seem to be scattered throughout many countries, it seems like we are settling in for a very long struggle here. I mean, there is really no one target that we... I mean, when would the West know, or when would the United States know that its war on terrorism has been successful or is over?
I think there's a very simple answer to that. When you don't book myself and Steve to talk about this issue, you'll know. I mean, there's going to be no VE day, but when it's no longer a question of public concern, I mean, terrorism's always going to be with us. It's a question of managing it as a problem so it becomes a nuisance rather than the major strategic concern we face right now. But at the end of the day, I don't think we're going to be talking about this 5 years from now.
Thanks so much, Peter Bergen and Stephen Simon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Peter Bergen is CNN's terrorism analyst and author of Holy War, Inc., and Stephen Simon is assistant director and senior fellow for U.S. Security Studies at the International Institute for Strategic Studies in London. He's also co-author of The Age of Sacred Terror.